Mini episode 1646 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rich Morris here. I am here today with fellow FDH original dignitary Chris Galloway. We're breaking down the divisions in the NFL one by one for the year 2023. The first one we did, the AFC East. Go back to that one if you want to catch our overarching thoughts for the offseason and for the season as a whole. The rest of these are narrowly focused on the divisions. In this case, it's the NFC North. Our format for these is taken from the FantasyDraftHelp.com football guide for this year. Fantasy Football Draftology 2023, again, available on the main page of FantasyDraftHelp.com. There is a segment in there called One Run-On Sentence for Each Team, and here is the one run-on sentence for each team in the NFC North. Detroit. There's still some holes on defense, but not nearly as many as there were before, thus marking this team with its explosive offense, told you so about Jared Goff, as the team to beat in this division and way more of a Super Bowl contender than most will admit. Chicago, in terms of filling holes, the Bears are only a slightly poor man's version of the Lions right now, albeit this team having a bottom five running back room in the league when they should have learned the lesson of the Bills the last 2 years about having their quarterback be by far their best rushing option is troubling. Minnesota, the luckiest team in the league in 2022, will see that break the other way. And along with more holes on defense than that team has had in recent years, the Vikes will come back to earth, saved only by playing in only a moderately rough division. Green Bay, we are either at the start of the third consecutive great QB era with the Packers, dating back all the way to 1992, or more likely, we are witnessing a team that will see its young passer overwhelmed by a fading offensive line and a defense that will have an unrealistic need for him to win shootouts. Quick note about the Lions here when I said Super Bowl contender, not to confuse anybody from our NFC East preview that we did for this year. I don't mean to suggest that the Lions have an actual chance of beating the Eagles, all things being equal, no great injuries or anything like that. But although the Eagles might deserve to have a bye on Championship Sunday, when you look at the rest of the conference, they're going to play somebody. And I think somebody that has a chance to be that somebody is Detroit. Feel free to say I told you so on Dan Campbell, Chris Galloway. I've come around on him, and again, I think what they're doing there, the resurrection of Jared Goff, one of the most explosive offenses in the league, I think it's the team to beat in this division.
I think that you and I can hold hands and go skipping, and me with my prediction on the coach and your love of Jared Goff.
Yes.
We kind of go hand in hand there.
Yes.
We find ourselves in the same boat. Look, I have the Lions winning the division, to your point, in large part because, hey, they're not playing in the NFC East.
Right.
I've got them at 10-7. They might have been a little bit better if, you know, their young wide receiver wasn't gambling on NFL games.
This is true.
From the facility. Not smart.
Nope.
And that's going to cost them. But they are a team where talent or no talent, you know, we've seen it since he got there. You know, tough guy with a chin. Look, he gets those guys to play. We saw it in his first year. They had not much talent at all, but those guys ran through a wall for him every week and were dangerous every week. They just happen to just be on the short end of coin toss games every week.
Right.
And so that's all kind of coming home. They've got a good run game. The defense is young and flying around. The defense will be better at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year. Don't anybody get scared about against the Chiefs, that's a tough matchup for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a young defense going against Andy Reid with the whole offseason to prepare.
Right.
And Patrick Mahomes, who always comes out sharp in week one because he plays a bunch in the preseason.
Right.
I like the fact that Reid and he want to play and want to get sharp. That's why Mahomes comes out and he's not rusty in week one. He's not trying to put it together in the first month. So that's good. That's a tough week one matchup for the Lions and a bit unfair, but the good thing for them is it's a great measuring stick on where they are on Super Bowl contention and allows them to, you know, get a tough game like that out of the way early and then start building. So I like them to win the division. And like you, I agree that the Vikings take a step back. They won every single coin flip last year. Every single one of them.
Yep.
And that's not going to happen again. And they have more holes in the defense than they had before, especially at linebacker. They lost, two defensive linemen. The Browns picked one up.
Yep.
They're not going to be as good on defense. That's going to put extra pressure on Kirk Cousins. So I had the Lions at 10-7. Not world beaters. Tough schedule.
Right.
But I've got the Vikings at 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with the Vikings though is you predicted it of the Commanders. The Vikings are a team that I could see have the floor fall out.
Really? Okay.
No more Dalvin Cook. They were the 31st ranked defense last year. And they look worse this year, at least on paper.
Right.
So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, a step back from a 13-win team to a 9-win team, right? That is a 4-game step back. But I'm also telling you right now, if they finish the season 6-11, don't be shocked.
Okay.
They could be first to worst, this upcoming season. Now, that brings us to the mystery of the next two.
It is.
I'm gonna shake it up a little bit for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna find that Jordan Love will be serviceable. They have enough weapons and enough left in that defense to win some games. I'm gonna have the Packers at 8-9 and just up and down all season, not particularly great at anything, but they'll win some games, they'll lose one or two more, they're not going to make the playoffs, Cheeseheads be freaking out, but I have them finishing ahead of the Chicago Bears because I, despite all the MVP talk, I want to see it first, Justin Fields, because I haven't seen it yet. You got to be able to consistently throw the ball and down the field.
Yeah,
so
fair.
They've upgraded some stuff on the Bears, they really have. But I don't, people that are talking about them making the playoffs and him being an MVP candidate, I'm like, whoa, now that's all on potential.
Right.
And I don't think we've seen that yet. I mean, so I'm not prepared to. I'm going to give the Bears 7 wins, 7-10, and still pulling up the rear of the gear in the NFC North. Just eked out by the Packers. Because of overall talent on the team, that I think Fields is going to be a better quarterback than Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overall talent right now on the Packers is slightly better than the Bears. So I give them like a 1-game edge. But doesn't matter. Neither team are making the playoffs. And the Packers will either be, having to decide how it is they're going to, start to rebuild, and the Bears are going to have to add more pieces in one more offseason.
Yeah, and again, the Bears, they need to upgrade, as I said, on the running backs here. For Minnesota, the only counterpoint that I have on any of that is, and it's one of these things where everything is a trade-off, because Minnesota got a lot more explosiveness in the wide receiver room in the offseason, substituting Jordan Addison for Adam Thielen. So a little bit more inexperienced there, though, but that's a thing where if that helps take any defensive attention whatsoever off of Justin Jefferson, arguably the most uncoverable guy in the NFL as it is, that could make up for an awful lot of ills here. So I've got Green Bay at 6-11, Minnesota at 9-8, Chicago in the wild card at 10-7, Detroit at 11-6, winning the division.
There is no way in God's green earth, and I will bet you a dollar right now, that the Chicago Bears are winning 10 games.
You don't think so? Okay.
Nope.
I mean, they don't have, as far as I can tell, a lot of holes outside of the running back room, which is a big one, by the way. And it is a complete lack of support that they're giving Justin Fields in that way. They're doing what Buffalo did. I referenced this during Buffalo's preview when we were doing the AFC East here. Is that, oh, Josh Allen can run. That's good enough for us. And this is one of these things where going back to, because I'm guessing that between Herbert and Foreman, it's going to be Herbert that gets many of the carries here. In the case of Buffalo the last couple of years, they've had Singletary get a whole chunk of the running back carries. It goes back to a blind spot that Andy Reid used to have when he was in Philadelphia, because he had Brian Westbrook at the time. And it's like, he can't be your between the tackles guy. Like, he wasn't, like, bad in that role. Brian Westbrook wasn't bad in any role as a running back. But you wanted to be able to free him up as an in-space kind of a guy and have somebody to basically move the chains for you. Brian Westbrook had to be their move-the-chains guy at that point in time. The Bears don't have a move-the-chains guy. It's unproven for the Bills of Cook and the Cook they didn't. They do have under contract the Cook brother, not Dalvin Cook. It's unproven whether Buffalo can get it done there. Chicago, I think it's safe to say nobody's going to get it done in that role. Founding Father Alexander Mattison in Minnesota, I think, again, they're hoping that he can step up. But again, I agree, it is going to be a drop-off from Dalvin Cook, to have no question about it.
Yeah, I just think that the growing pains that the Bears are still going to be experiencing are going to hold them back. And to your point, I mean, the running back room is lousy.
Yes.
And how they didn't, to your point, invest at least a second round pick in that.
Right.
Say, hey, we need somebody that can be that back that just, when we need that 4 yards, gets us 4.5 or 5.
Yeah.
And that'll hold them back. But I think also sometimes it's just the growing pains of a young quarterback as they, you know, they're still working on their craft. Fields is still working to get better. Again, I'm not saying Fields is regressing. I see him each year getting a little better. And so I just think we're this year, all the Bears hype, I think, is 1 year early.
It might be. It might be. So, while you're not sold on Fields, you do think in another year, or are you thinking that they're going to somehow miraculously have another quarterback to get into the playoffs this year? What are you thinking?
No, I'm thinking Fields one more year.
Okay.
Another, you know, them investing in running back, maybe a couple more defensive pieces. And that's how I see them taking a jump next year to probably being like a 10-win team next year.
Okay.
I just don't think they're there yet.
Well, the thing of it is that you do have to pick 3 wild card teams in the NFC, and that's kind of what I came down to, is that somebody's got to make it. Same thing with the next division we're picking. By federal law, apparently, you do have to pick a winner of the NFC South this year, even though nobody deserves to be. And that team, I think, will be below 500. Spoiler alert. But finding
probably, but me saying the Bears go 6-11, it doubles their win total.
It does. Yeah.
From a year ago, so it's not like I hate the Bears. Most teams' fan base would be like, hey, we're going to win twice as many games. That's great.
Right.
You know, I understand for Bears fans, 6-11 is still a massive letdown. I just think that this is the growing pains with a young quarterback in the NFL. Going from 3 wins to 6 wins is, you know, if you're the ownership and a fan, it's going to be frustrating. But at the same time, you got to go, we're moving in the right direction here. We're gaining pieces. We're getting better. It's, you know, so I it's not me like just completely down on the Bears' trajectory.
Right.
I just think all the hype, like you, I feel like you're succumbing to, with 10 wins and playoffs and MVP talk. I think we're a year ahead of ourselves.
Well, I'm not saying MVP for Fields. I'm just saying, again, somebody in the NFC is going to win 10 games and be a wild card team. I'm picking it to be done. I'll tell you this, though. To add a little context to what you said here, a little bit of nuance to it, as far as why Bears fans would consider it to be a disaster if they only won 6 games this year, because they had a lot of cap room coming into the off season, and they used the cap room judiciously to solve a lot of needs. Unfortunately for them, they created one they didn't have at running back by letting David Montgomery go and not replacing him. That being said, they filled many of their other needs, including at wide receiver. So they're looking at it here this year like we have a substantially better team than we did in 2022, and that's why the expectations for there are significantly higher than 6-11.
Yeah, no, they got better, which is why I have them doubling their wins.
Sure.
But again, as you and I know, history shows that like big free agent, you know, massive free agent acquisitions don't normally result in big win results, right?
Sure.
Free agency typically benefits those who are, you know, taking one or two players because they were a playoff team or almost a playoff team, like right on the cusp, and then becoming a playoff team or being, you know, a wild card that wins the division because they got these two, you know, a key defensive player and a key wide receiver. Like that's, you know, one of those. When you're the Patriots or the orgy of free agent acquisitions, or you're trying to do it like that with Chicago, I just go, yeah, they're going to get better. But I still think they're a year away.
Very well could be. That's possible, yeah. And we'll have to see how that plays out in the NFC North. Any other thoughts on the division for this year?
No, I think that, again, I think it's the Lions. There's some pressure here now. You're not the scrappy little, you know, team that could, right? You know, the Lions are a team like the Browns that have for years just been no good, right?
Yeah.
And haven't had a much success. And I, ironically, I have the Browns and the Lions surging a little bit and finishing both at 10-7. And so that, you know, there's pressure there for the Lions, right? This is the first time in a long time the Lions are expected to win the division, expected to be in the playoffs. So let's see how they do with those expectations now to that level. Aaron Rodgers is gone. The Vikings are taking a big step back. The Bears are still rebuilding. This is the Lions' moment. They've got to get it done.
Man, you just jinxed the Lions there, because based on the Browns' recent history, i.e. 2019 and 2021, every year the team's been expected to do something, it has flopped hilariously. So based on that, the Lions should be very hopeful. I'll tell you this. My last note for the division is this. You talked about it before. The opening night here, the inexplicable opening night of Lions at Chiefs. What this is, essentially, this is the NFL's equivalent of a heat check. This would be like J.R. Smith back in the day when he was hitting a bunch of threes and he launched one from 40 feet. This is the NFL seeing, oh, so we could pull a good number opening night no matter what, huh? Let's go Chiefs-Lions and see what happens.
Exactly right, yeah. No, I mean, look, yeah, they're testing that. Look, I think the matchup is more of, you got the Super Bowl champs, which usually start that Thursday, right? So you got the Chiefs, and they're like, look, who can we give that? Let's not give them an AFC team, right? Like, let's cross-pollinate this thing. So okay. We got fans from both conferences, and, you know, you're like, look, I mean, you don't want to come, you know, you're not going to march it out with like, hey, here's the Eagles. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, you're going to, to me, it makes sense, right? It's the Lions, which we're not used to that kind of thing. But they're expected to win their division. They're expected to be a playoff team. So it's like, yeah, I mean, look, if this was the Packers, you would be like, oh, yeah, it makes total sense, right? Well, you know, that's because they were expecting to win their division and were a playoff team, right?
Right.
Like, it's no real difference. It's just the fact that it's the Detroit Lions that we all go, whoa. But they fit the profile of what the NFL wants in that game.
Yeah, in a way. And I'm glad you caught yourself and said cross-pollinate rather than crossing streams, because we don't need anything that invokes what happens in the men's rooms at the Arrowhead Stadium for Scalaway.
No.
That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good.
Just stop.
Yes. Unlike our segment, which was really good. So thank you, Chris Scalaway. And again, this was our look at the NFC North for 2023. Up next is the NFC South in 2023. Thank you, everybody, for checking out this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.